Wellness in Indian Country this morning is supported in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Our guest this morning is Christine McCleave, and she is the executive officer of an organization that perhaps you first heard about here on National Native News. It's the National Native American Boarding School Healing Coalition, and it's located right here in Minnesota. Hey, Christine, good morning, and thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
If you go to the website, there's so much on the website. It's really interesting to go and to just kind of begin to browse around a little. The website identifies several different needs for conversations to be held regarding boarding schools and the importance of those conversations to be held not just within Native communities, but within non-Native communities as well. One of the needs that you identify has to do with the need for education, and you say that folks probably don't know very much about the boarding schools, and I certainly don't remember reading anything about them in my history books. And my history books back in the 60s, there were still boarding schools in operation at that time.
Yes. In fact, there are 53 boarding schools that are still open today. However, they have been turned over to the tribes. The first boarding school in this country was Carlisle Indian Industrial School in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, and that was opened in 1889 and closed in 1918. So next year will be the 100-year anniversary of its closing. But after that first boarding school was opened and run by federal funding, which was legislated to deal with the Indian problem at that time, rather than to kill the Indian, they were aiming to save the man. And after that, 350 more boarding schools were open. About half of them were run by churches, so they were federally funded and church-run, and this was U.S. policy.
And many people, when you think about a boarding school now, maybe our only experience with the idea of boarding school is either what you've read in a Charles Dickens novel, or you think, oh, well, William and Harry went to boarding school in Britain. That couldn't be bad. But obviously the experience that the Native kids had and the not only the experience that they had, but the ripple effects from their experience have really affected and continue to affect Native families to this day. How does that work? Can you describe that a little bit?
Yes, that's a good point. It wasn't boarding school that we think of today where it's some kind of elite place. It was, they were military-style boarding schools. They used corporal punishment. The children were taken forcibly in the first generation. Later, around the Great Depression era, they went to escape poverty. But oftentimes, in the beginning, parents were incarcerated if they didn't allow their children to go. There were laws that said that Indian agents could withhold rations if people did not send their children to boarding school. It was a policy of forced assimilation, so they were often restricted from speaking their language, engaging in any of their culture. They were beaten. They used corporal punishment to prohibit language and culture. So it really was about making them into what they considered to be civilized people.
It's hard to understand how wide-reaching these effects are, because that isn't a part of most people's experience. When these kids came home, as we learned from a story that we heard from Grace Smith on our air not too long ago, they didn't speak their native language, and so they were, now they really didn't belong anywhere, in a sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we talk about it in, we like to frame it within the historical context that, you know, prior to this, there were Indian wars, and so a lot of people thought that this policy was more compassionate, to not just outright kill the Indian, but to assimilate him, and the effects, however, were devastating spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and physically. Many children died in these schools from preventable diseases, and many of them died from loneliness. They would stop eating. If they did survive, they often had, you know, experienced abuse or had been shamed about their native identity. And so a lot of the issues that we see today around depression, alcoholism, anxiety, suicide, violence, all of those can be traced back to the boarding school because our strength in the culture and language was they tried to remove that. And so some people did hold on to that, and that's where we get a lot of our resiliency today. However, it was damaging in some respects. And there is evidence now by a researcher who studied the children of Holocaust survivors. Epigenetics proves that trauma can be passed down through your DNA. So, but Native peoples have known that for generations, and we refer to it as historical trauma or a soul wound because it just, it doesn't go away within one generation. It has to be worked on quite diligently for a few generations.
That is a something that we're just beginning to learn right now. When you talk to people that say boarding schools, you know, that was a long time ago, or, you know, for example, you know, this school closed in 1919. How, you know, the people who attended that boarding school are long gone. How can this possibly still be creating problems now? What do you tell people as you educate them about this idea?
Well, I probably don't have time to go into all the things that I could say to answer that. I have boarding school history in my family. My great-grandfather went to Carlisle. My grandfather went to Marty Catholic Indian School as well as Haskell Indian School. And I often talk about my personal history, which I won't go into depth here. But we have education on our website and in our publications that talks about this boarding school policy as the first Indian child welfare policy of the United States. Nowadays, we have ICWA, the Indian Child Welfare Act, which was legislated in 1974 to stop Native children from being removed from their families simply because they were Native American. In the 60s, after the boarding schools were waning, the Bureau of Indian Affairs instituted the Indian Adoption Project. And that had the same goals, to take children and teach them to be white and assimilate them fully into non-Native culture. So we actually see that Native American children, despite ICWA, are still being removed at higher rates than any other ethnicity today. So the problem is systematic. So, you know, putting intergenerational trauma aside, if you want to, you know, say that you don't believe in that, you can still look at the fact that Native children are being removed from their families and homes simply because they're Native, and it's still going on today.
Well, it's horrifying and it's heartbreaking to read a lot of this information and to kind of, as a non-Native person, get up to speed on it. But it's very heartening to see the work that you are doing through the website and through your organization. One of the things that struck me when I listened to a piece that National Native News had done about your organization was the idea that you wanted to bring these stories, and there is a project to get folks to bring their stories, and you wanted to bring them to the United Nations. Why is that?
We have filed a Freedom of Information Act request with the Bureau of Indian Affairs asking for boarding school records, and we haven't gotten those. We've had independent researchers looking at the records. In Canada, they had a Truth and Reconciliation Commission as a result of a class action lawsuit the government settled and used the funds to create this five-year commission to look into the boarding school abuses that happened in that country. And they came out with a seven-volume report. They had testimony hearings. They got the churches involved. They brought all the records forward. They found 6,000 children who had died or went missing at these boarding schools. They had records of all types of horrendous abuse. But there was healing in that, because once that truth came out, people could start to move towards healing and reconciliation. And so now that country is working actively on the reconciliation process. here in the U.S., we don't even have the truth. And so when we ask the government, you know, through the Freedom of Information Act for these records, and they cannot come up with the records because they don't have them all, they're spread out all over the country, their response to us was, we don't do research. But they should have the record. And so we're looking for the truth ourselves. And taking these cases of missing children to the United Nations Working Group on Enforced and Involuntary Disappearances is one way we feel we can move that effort forward to get the truth of what happened at boarding school.
Christine, this is really a fascinating project, and it's heartbreaking. But again, the work that you are and your organization and many folks across the country are doing really is heartening to see. We'll get some links up on our website so folks can learn more. And thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Christine McCleave, our guest this morning on Journey to Wellness in Indian Country. She is the executive officer of the National Native American Boarding School Healing Coalition. Journey to Wellness on KUMD is funded in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.